Praise God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever, whether we respond to Him or not, He's still the same and waiting on us and waiting for us. And extending His grace and His mercy and His love to our life, every moment of our life. It's a privilege for me to be back in another Sunday here, in such a short time here, but I believe that God has a plan for us, and He's going to break through today. You're going to leave this place. That's my prayer today for you, that you're going to leave this place transformed and different. That you're going to leave this place with a lot of breakthrough that can be seen by whoever's around you and by the world that you're facing. You just have to leave this place different. Hallelujah. And that is our expectation of what God will do for us today. Amen. And I have so much joy to be back here. And as I can tell you that, last week I was in France, and God has done a lot of amazing things. And one of the things that encouraged me so much is that wherever we go, we see the remnant of God's household is there. It doesn't matter which country, whether it's whatever the condition of the country is, we always see some remnant of God that are there. And interceding and believing and knowing that God has a plan for their land, for their nation, and for nation around the world. And that really connected my heart with to see the believer arising from all the nation I have been to. And I would like just to encourage you that God has set apart His remnant, us, His remnant, a small number of people who God will bless the land because of us in the land. And another thing I would like to tell you, how much you know how much I love England, and because of England that I gave up everything and be in the ministry, which I never wanted to be in ministry. My whole life I pray against that. But I love England so much, and it can be a crazy love for the nation. And last week I was in France, and I was overwhelmed with the thing I see. But still, my love for the United Kingdom remained the same. I have not changed. French is a little bit overwhelming to me, but for the level of love and connection and conviction of praying, loving a nation, is just different. I will love the French and the church, and I will pray for them. But that is a different kind of love. And I'm so amazed at what God has been ministered to my heart about how to commit to love a nation. And I'm committed to love your nation and to pray for your nation 11 years and continue on to see the breakthrough in this land and the people, the healing, the restoration, and the fulfill of his purpose in this land. And I believe that that day is coming very soon. I would love to say one of the highlights for my trip in France last week was I always walk with the miracles of God. If somebody else can tell you about the miracles of somebody else, that they might know, I am the living miracle that God has been performing every single day of my life. And on Saturday, I arrived to Lyon, and I don't have a place. I don't know where I'm going. I had a gathering, international leadership meetings in another smaller city for 3 days. But I came to France a few days earlier, and on last Saturday, and I knew that God wanted me to get there Saturday, but I did not know where I was going and who's going to receive me, because I don't know a soul there. You know, I don't know anybody, but I believe that you just need to make sure that you know the Holy Spirit. And He's with you, and you're with Him, and you're good to go. That's where we start. So one day before landed, I talked to my friend in America, and she briefly shared with me that she knows somebody just moved to France. A pastor and his wife just moved to France. And I said, oh, how long did they move there? And she said, just a month. And I thought they was moving from America to France. That's what I thought. I didn't check on that. And she said, oh, I believe that they will receive you for one evening. No problem. You just come. So I say, okay, I will connect with the person. And the person actually who received me was the Ethiopian church and the pastor. They just moved from Ethiopia to France for 1 month. And they don't even have anything in the apartment yet. But they have the heart so big that received me that evening. And on the moment I met, it's just like this, because it's the same spirit. The same spirit that in us is in their family, is in the pastor. And what they, it's just like you feel your family. It's just like you feel like you're belonging to the same father. You are the same household, no matter where you are. And how life brings you together, there's always a purpose. There's always a bigger purpose. There's always a higher purpose. There is the purpose of the kingdom that he brought you forth. Now, so that the miracle, a little miracle that somebody opened their home, they don't know you, you don't know them. And he's a pastor, and he has been training and living in Ethiopia all his life. And his wife, she working for the Interpol. Oh, gosh. So when I know that, oh, I better behave. Okay. You know, like, oh, is she working for the Interpol? Okay. And so anyway, it's just interesting. Last year, when God sent me to Egypt, the first people I met was also Ethiopian. All the way from Vietnam to Egypt, and I met the Ethiopian. So God is trying to say something. But they was Muslim, and the South Sudan and the Eritrea and Somalia, they was the illegal refugee in Egypt. And God sent me there just to meet them. And they was Muslim. They don't know Jesus. And I don't know why I was there. But then I was able to share the gospel in a manner that you talk and you run. Kind of like, eh? I have my suitcase pack. If I, you know, when they receive Jesus, then I run, kind of thing, you know. And it was out of my comfort zone, because I work with pastors and leaders in Vietnam. What my calling is to bring the church leader together in unity. That's in my calling. And forever, God's sending me over all over the world. But for Vietnam, we come together seeking the unity of the body. And so it's good to just, because you hang out with the pastor and the leader, you have a different kind of conversation, you have different kind of topic. And I never be an evangelist. I find it very hard to talk to the stranger. It's by nature, I'm shy. By nature, I can't engage into a conversation easily if I don't know the person. So now I was pushed in front of the Muslim non-believer. And they were so black. They're so black. And I was like, they black, black. But then you don't know if it's offend them, if you look into their skin and touch. You know, like you would love to touch, but you can't touch. And you want to look in their eyes, but you don't know if it's offended or not. Because they are men, and they are Muslim, and they are just like cold. Doesn't matter, because I started with asking the Holy Spirit, and I did not know how to even start, like, hello, Jesus love you. It's like, how to even start a conversation. But then when I was having a little bit of fear, because I know, oh, this Muslim in Egypt, if you just share the gospel, you'll be taken to prison immediately if they found out. So I said, well, if I share, I still die. If I don't share, I still die. Let's just share it. You know, I just like, because I was in the middle of these men. And if I, they already introduced, oh, this lady, she has something to say. And so I was in the position where I can't run away without saying something. So I have to say something and run. But then when I stood in front of them, I was kind of froze. I don't have word. I have the spirit of fear, and I was scared. And then I was asking Holy Spirit, don't make me embarrassed in front of these strange people. Do something about it. So I started to pray in tongue. And I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, they may not know you yet, but now you can touch them and make yourself known by them. So when I was praying like that, and the Spirit of God came, and I said, can I pray for you? I haven't shared with them Jesus or anything. I just asked, can I pray for you? And they say yes. And that when I touched them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit before they confessed their faith with Jesus. And that was the Ethiopian. Some of them was Ethiopian. So at the end of the meeting, I saw that we were cooking some food. Their strange food. Black. With egg in it. Something red. So I looked in that, but I was curious about the food. But you can't ask the people, can you give me some food? That's just like somebody you just met. So I look at their food and were thinking, oh, that must be Ethiopian food. And then they say, yes. Now guess what? This past week, the Ethiopian family, when they invited me, the wife prepared the exact food that I was not able to eat last year. How good God is. I mean, God is just amazing, right? Because in all the kind of food he could cook, he cooked the exact food that I saw and was wondering what inside, you know? So I think that a confirmation of my love for the nation Ethiopia, and I believe that a revival will come on that nation very soon, and the revival will awake the whole African region. From Ethiopia. I believe so. Because they're... So then he said, oh, tomorrow afternoon, would you like to go to church with us? Ethiopian church. And I went all the way from Vietnam to England and England to France to go to Ethiopian church. And all black again. You know? Like, and all black again. And their teeth is so beautiful and white. So I enjoy it so much. They don't have a church building. They went, they just started a church, and the friend church is a evangelical church in the morning, and they let the Ethiopian use the church facility in the afternoon. And what broke my heart in that visit was the friend church sent God on vacation all summer. So they don't have church. The whole congregation was out and about. So they just sent God on vacation as well. But they let the Ethiopian use their church in the afternoon just to have somebody taking care of a facility. But I could feel the love from the Ethiopian people. For the people of France, they pray for 3 hours. Just for that church revival. They pray for the white people, the French people, more than they pray for themselves. Can you see that is the remnant that God is raising up so that we can stand for each other? The nation standing for each other in this season. And I could see their love pouring out when they just come into the presence of God, praise and worship for a few hours. And when they started to pray, they pray for the people of the land. They pray for the French. They pray for the revival of the church and the people where they're living before they even pray for their homeland. And I feel that it's just what a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. You think for other more than for yourself. You really listen to the teaching of what God is saying, what Jesus is saying. Love your neighbor more than yourself. But I don't see that a lot, including me. I love myself more than anyone else. Oh my gosh, and God have to liberate and touch me and hit me and do all kind of things for me to go there to even have that revelation that I should love my neighbor more than myself the way that God wanted me to. And that's why when I abandoned Vietnam, because many people would say, you should just focus on Vietnam. And then I was struggling with that kind of accusation because they think if you are Vietnamese, you should just love your country. But I don't love my country. What can I do? I love some other country better, and I just go. And there was one day when I was praying because of that accusation. I was praying in tea, and I said, Lord, if it's true or if it's not true, tell me, say something about it. And I was so desperate to know why I'm willing to die for a nation of South Korea, North Korea, America, and Nepal, and I don't have such feeling for Vietnam. And in that desperation, the Lord say that if I can raise you and put in your heart the love for a nation that much, I can call anybody in the whole world to love your nation even stronger. You just need to be obedient and do my will. And that brought a lot of revelation and comfort to my heart. And then after that, I found some people that I was able to connect with, and they love my people and my nation 1,000 times better than I do. How good God is. So it's not about where you are. It's about who you are with. Wherever you are, because if you are with God and God with you, is exactly where you should be. Amen. And I just encourage you that God is doing a lot of things these days on earth in a lot of nations. God is turning the nation of South Korea and North Korea in this moment. God is bringing forth the Vietnamese church and the China and the Singaporean and the Malaysia. There's a revival after revival. And I'm very amazed because the media won't tell you what's going on in the other side of the world in Asia. Because the meeting that we're having and the revival in Vietnam is a nation of communists, and we could have a meeting for 21,000 people just to hear the gospel in front of the police and the government, and they couldn't do anything. Why? Because the Spirit of God was with us, and the Spirit of God was controlling that atmosphere when we come to put God first and no fear of man. And then they only approved the location last year. We sent the paper for the permission from the government for 2 years for that evangelizing event in Vietnam in December last year. For 2 years, they keep saying no. And we're asking for a location of 21,000 people. And 1 month before the event, they say, yes, you can have an event, but at a smaller location for 4,000 people, not 21,000 that we asked for. So beggar cannot be chooser. We say, okay, 4,000 is 4,000, right? So we had a contract signed and preparing for that meetings, for that evangelizing event. And it's about 3 days. And 2 days before the event, they say, you cannot have 3 days. You can only have 2 morning and 2 evening. That's communist. That's they just were so troubled in their spirit because they know God will touch the nation and change everything. And they already can feel it, right? So now we only have 2 morning and 2 evening. Now the last evening, by faith, the whole city of the North Vietnam, Hanoi, because we invited a lot of people from different provinces to come for the event. And most of them are non-believers, just come to hear about Jesus when Franklin Graham was there. So we go to all the local church and to borrow the chair, and we brought to the location. So the auditorium is only 4,000 with the permission. Now we put the screen on outside of the auditorium outdoor, and we borrow 21,000 chair just outside out there. Just every corner of the street we can find, and we borrow 21,000. We had squat. We have 22,000 people showed up. So God is good and He is at work. Now, we ended up, we don't have to pay for the location of 21,000, only pay for the location of 4,000, but we could host 22,000. How good God is. He saved our money. He saved our resource. Yes, He saved our money. That's a huge blessing between 4,000 to 21,000 location. It's like four times more expensive for us to just four or five times. But that is the time, the fullness of time for His body around the world is now. The fullness of His purpose is now. And what are we expecting? What are we as an individual expecting God to do for us? And I'm praying today that whatever you are expecting, now is the day and today is the day. Now is the time. What are we expecting? We pray all the time that Lord just open our eyes so that we can see, open our ears so that we can hear, and our hearts so that we can perceive. But what do you want to see? What do you want to hear? And what do you want to perceive? And what are you going to do with it? When God really dealt with me and asked me to leave everything, I basically sold everything I have. That was my first step of faith, because I love comfort. I love nice clothes. I was working in business world. I love dressing up. I love shoes. I'm crying all the time when I miss my shoes. When I travel, I can't carry the whole suitcase of shoes. And sometimes you go into the nation that they don't have shoes to wear. What is the point of wearing nice shoes? Nobody will look at it and say, wow, beautiful shoe. They don't even look. What a waste, you know? So when I'm in Nepal, I only carry one pair of sneakers and that's it. That's the story of my life. But I'm telling you, God knowing the secret of your heart to the smaller detail. I was laying on the bed and full of bug up there on the border near Nepal and India. And I was like asking myself what I am doing here. Because it's so smelly, it is so no food. They are eating curry every day. They put curry on everything that you could see. And they did not even leave my omelet alone. They put curry in your egg. That was the end of my patience. You know? Could you please leave my food alone with no curry? So they would put curry on the vegetable, on the rice, on the meat, and on your egg. And then they put curry on your toes. That's just like, no, I'm at the end of my rope. That's it. That should be finished here and now. So the next day, I came up with the revelation of no curry. Don't order an omelet. Say, boy egg, boy egg. They can't touch the inside of the egg, you know. And then so boy egg was my friend for 15 days. But when I go home, I couldn't eat egg for 6 months. Yeah. Because I have enough of it, you know. Like in the morning, there's lunch and evening, egg, boy egg. And they could not touch it inside. Hallelujah. They leave my eggs alone. So I was laying there and seeing the bug and was thinking about my shoe and crying and asking myself what I'm doing here. I miss my shoe. How silly that is. That's 4 days you have such powerful day with the pastor and the leaders. You preach, you speak, you encourage, you pray for people. And in the evening, when you're alone in your room, you feel like, what am I doing here? In that moment, I felt so lonely, kind of like, why do I have to carry worry for these people? You know, and then I'm missing my shoes. What is the point? And then, to make matter worse, the bug that I was looking landed on my face. That was like, you know, I just like slapped my face because I was so scared. I just slapped it, the bug. And I sit up, and I was just sitting like this all night long, and I say, Lord, I need to get out of here. You do something. I can't take these bugs with me anymore. Just kill them, destroy them, do something about it. And praise God. Praise God that He gave us the strength that we need to go on with our life. With every single moment or challenge of your life that you need strength, He's always give you the strength to carry on. And He gave me the strength to carry on. During that trip, it was successful, it was powerful, but it's a lot of challenge along the way. But when I got home, I received a box. Somebody sent me a new pair of shoes, my style and my brand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, really, He knows the secret of your heart. He even know when I was thinking of chicken fry. That's freaky, yes? That even I was thinking secretly about the chicken. You know why? Because I have been going to South Korea a lot. One evening when I was on my way to church with another pastor, and he doesn't speak any Vietnamese or English, he just speaks Korean. And I don't know any Korean. So he was driving and I was sitting next to him. So I have no conversation happening, right? So I look around and I see a poster full of chicken fry. And they say the best in South Korea. And you should, if you've been here and you don't try it, you missed it, kind of thing. And I said, oh, Lord, how come I missed it? I have been here so many countries and nobody treat me chicken fry. What's wrong with this? So I was thinking, oh, it would be nice to try that flavor. They have the chili flavor and chili flavor. It would be nice. It's just in my head because I don't have a conversation with the person sitting next to me. I started to think about chicken. So we have a wonderful evening's worship until midnight. And at midnight, somebody showed up. This man, he's from another side of town. At midnight, he carried two baskets, came to church, and he said, I don't know why. The Lord woke me up. I don't know why. I have to buy chicken. And I know why, because I thought about that. But he didn't know why. But he was so embarrassed because he carried two chicken buckets, you know, and he was two flavor that I thought, even two flavor, cheese and chili. And he was so embarrassed because he didn't go to church for the meeting. He wanted to skip the meeting, but God made him buy the chicken. Two full baskets this big for everybody. So if you skip the meeting, maybe God making you buy a chicken or something. Be careful. Or something even bigger than just chicken, right? But we laugh about it and see how much God know your heart. How much He care for your desire. You don't think it's silly or it's small. It's always matter to God. If it's matter to you, it's matter to God. If your desire is matter to you, it will matter to God. So the big question is, what matter to you? What really matter to you? What do you want from His kingdom and for His kingdom and for your life to be fulfilled? Now, I would like to invite you into Mark chapter 10 and the story everybody knows. From verse 46 to 52. And the story of the blind at Bartimaeus, and everybody, we read it all the time, but I there's something about this story that we need to look again today. And may the Spirit of God just minister to your spirit right now, because we will have some kind of breakthrough and revelation and change today. Because He's about to make you see again. He about to allow you see again. So when Jesus came to Jericho, and He was walking with the disciple and this man, and they said that as Jesus and His disciple, together with a large crowd, was leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So I believe that he was just sitting there all the time, every day, every single day, just begging for his life, to have some money to buy food. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Doesn't matter who's around you. It doesn't matter what's going on. When you heard about Jesus, are you shouting out to Him? Doesn't matter. So that what mattered to him is just he heard about Jesus and His reputation and probably His healing power and everything. So now that He crossing His way, I'm going to take this opportunity, don't I? I've been waiting all my life. Now I have to shout out. And this is what he shouted. He began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That is the first thing that he asked. He just like, this is all the matter. If we don't have his mercy, actually we don't even deserve to be here and to stand here without his mercy. And he was calling out at that moment. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. I think he shouted even louder. Yes, that is the attitude. If somebody just get mad with you, somebody just stop you from doing what you want to do for God or getting God's attention, shout even louder. Because it doesn't matter who's around you. It's the matter who do you want to communicate with. In your desperation moment, are you desperate enough just to shout out louder for his attention? Because you believe, you know, today is the day and now is the time. Today you don't want to walk away from this door without breakthrough. You don't want to walk away this door without being changed and transformed and blessed and walk with favor and authority and the newness of your spirit with the new strength of the day. That's we better shout louder until we get it. Now, so when he shout, and the people rebuke him. So it's amazed me every single time we read the words of God, because the same people that rebuke him or corrected him or was annoying with him, listen to this. Jesus stopped and said, call him over here. Like, just get this guy because I heard him. Like, among the crowd, there's a big crowd. But he heard that voice of desperation. And he responded. And he said, call him. He said, call him over here and see this. The same people that was annoying, the same people that just shut him down, the same people that rebuke him, encourage him and say, cheers up. Take heart. Be courageous. Take heart. Be confident. Get up. He is calling you. That same people, right? That same people he was with. So don't be surprised when the people with yesterday say, no, you cannot do it. But today say, you are doing a wonderful job. That same people. But that saying that sometimes people can come across discouraged, saying things that they shouldn't say, be negative. But be gracious to them because you never know that they would be changed and touched by God too. That also the revelation, not just for the blind man, also for the people, because now that they could engage with the heart of God, so they change from negative to positive in one moment. They encourage the guy. They say, he calling you. Now, when God is calling you, he will make sure the people surround you will extend their attention and favor and walk with you in the new way. All of a sudden, because the blind man, he couldn't change the people, but Jesus changed their attitude right there. Because they all of a sudden, they rebuked him, corrected him, and was annoying with him. And now they say, cheer up, be courage, just go, now is your time. Now is the time that you can meet Jesus. I love that moment when God, just one word of God could touch the innermost of our soul and change everything. And brought so much conviction to our spirit and our life. And it could change out the rest of our life just for one word, just for one moment when he is calling you. Verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now, remember, this is before he got healed. He already made a very firm decision. I don't want my past life anymore. From this moment when he's calling me, I'm a new man. I'm different. I'm expecting more. He's going to do something big for me today. I'm not going to keep this cloak. Actually, he needs his cloak for his profession as a beggar. Right? He needs that. When he covers himself with that cloak, people can give him money. He has to make himself look ugly and bad and all kind of thing, you know. In Asia, they will put all kind of thing in their body, just sit there and trying to be really, really desperate and needy so that you can have money from people. So he decided this moment, from this moment on, I'm not going back to where I was. I'm not of the same man. I'm not going to go and beg every day. I'm not going to be a blind person anymore. I'm going to jump. I'm not just go forward. I'm going to expect God going to do something big for me. Today is the day and now is the time. This is my moment. And he has to do something for me. Do you have that kind of faith to believe that God, he has to do something for me now? Because if you do have that kind of faith, things will happen. Because that happened before Jesus asked, what can I do for you? Isn't it? That was in the Bible. And you can see in another account in Matthew and Luke the same. He decided, there was a strong conviction that I have to walk away from my past, from my life, from whatever that holding me, whatever that chain, keep me in chain, whatever that just blinded me, whatever that stopped me from who becoming who I am. Today, it has to stop. Today, it has to be removed. Today, it has to be destroyed. And today, I have met Jesus and he calling me and I'm responding to him. I am running toward him. I'm running forward to take my portion, to take my part, to take what belongs to me. Now is the time. So he threw away his cloak and come forward to Jesus. And Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? And I'm challenging you and I'm encouraging you as well. What do you want God? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Now, if God is asking you this question right now, do you have the answer? Do you really have the answer like this is what I want right now? Whatever it is in your heart, respond that to God right now. If God is asking you, what do you want me to do for you? What do you expect me to do for you in your life, in your family, in your community, in your church, in your neighborhood, whatever, what do you want me to do for you? And I do believe that right at this moment, He's listening to you. Every single desire, every single thing that matter to you, matter to God. And He's listening to you, and He's about to release that to you. He's about to give you what you're asking and waiting for so long. And today is the day, and now is the moment. And you have to approach Him with the expectation that do it, Lord, and do it now. I just don't want to be the same anymore. I don't want to be like before. I just want to be changed. I just want something different, new, breakthrough now. So then He said, Rabbi or Master, I want to see again. In another version, it said, I want to regain my sight. So that means that He's seen before. Right? But then at some moment of our life, we was blinded because of any reason. We don't see it anymore. We don't see the kingdom of God anymore. We don't see His miracle anymore. We don't see His love anymore. We don't have that passion to seek for Him anymore. We don't see anymore. We don't see, we don't see for our life anymore. We don't see for our church anymore. We don't see for our nation anymore. But now today, God is about to help you to regain that vision that you have lost somewhere along the way. Of the vision for your life, for your calling, for whatever that God has ordained before the foundation of it for you. Today, He going to make you see again. Regain your sight. And then, so the next question I would like to challenge you. So then if you already have something in your heart to respond to God, what do you see? Now that you have sight, but what do you see? What do you see for your life? Like do you see in the next week, next day, what do you see? What do you see for your next season of your life? What do you see for your family, in your church, in your community, in your nation? And the nation that God put in your heart, it has to be bigger than who you are. If not, it's not from God. He's a big God. He's a great, powerful, almighty, able. And it has to be bigger than what we can imagine. But what do you see? And what do you choose to see? Because what you see, God is going to give you. When I got this verse, Psalm 2a, ask of me, I will make nation your inheritance in the end of the world, the end of the earth, your possession. To me, it's a joke. It's a joke. I mean, as Vietnamese, you can't travel anywhere outside of Vietnam without trouble. And if you are single, it even double trouble because you don't find a reason to return. And right? And when I was working and making money, it's a different story. But when you stop working, you don't have a job to prove that you have a bond to come back. And you can't prove to anyone of your financial situation of whatsoever. So, and I'm from a very small town in Vietnam, and my parents are pastoring all their life, and I don't want to do anything with that. I think it's just silly to be a pastor and just taking care of people and abandon your own children kind of thing, you know. And it's just living every day by faith, and I don't like it. I don't like to live by faith. I like to live by what I can see. That who I was. But by His grace and His love and His mercy, He called me. And I sold everything, back to my story, when I sold everything, I packed everything in 11 suitcase. Today, I still live in 11 suitcases. And last week, when I was in France and I was sitting at the station waiting for my train, and I started to have the moment of just feeling for yourself. And I thought, oh, my life is so scattered. I have one suitcase in London, one suitcase in America somewhere, and one suitcase with me. How did I end my life with that? One suitcase everywhere. And now I still have 11 suitcases, and I love it. But I can see that God will take you as far as what you can see. So when the Psalm 2:8 asks of me, I will make nation your inheritance, I was thinking, whose nation is what nation? I don't care any other nation. I just love to travel, and that's it. But he knows you because he made you. He formed you in your mother womb. And he knows you by name in person. In person. And he even knows the desire of your heart and fulfilling it. But are you willing to partake with him? Are you willing to partner with him? Because if you have that kind of faith like this person, throw away his old self, old profession, and just get set on the mode to move forward with God, that kind of faith with action. Because faith with no work is death. You have to do your part. You have to do something about it. You have to sell everything. In my case, because I did not know where I was going. I love comfort. I love shoes. I love clothes. But when I decided to sell everything, it broke my heart. But I do not regret any bit up till today. I never had a bed for my whole life. I never buy a bed. Because I think if I have a bed, I would not move or get out of bed. You know, I would just enjoy it so much and just make my life worse. And I will forget Jesus kind of thing. So I think, okay, I wouldn't sleep on the floor, just easier. But 3 years ago, the Lord asked me to buy a bed. And I said, oh, so I decided not to have a bed so that I don't belong to the bed and I can move easier. And now that he asked me to buy a bed, but since the day, but I obey anyway. I bought a new bed for three years now, so I'm sleeping on a bed right now. But the moment that I bought the bed, he sent me overseas 3 times longer. So I don't get to enjoy my bed. But so I still don't understand that. One day he will make me understand that. But now everything I have in the house, really, one motorbike and a bed and 11 suitcases. So what do you see? What do you choose to see? I would like to invite you to open your Bible in Genesis 12, verse 1-3. When God called Abraham out of his land to go into the promised land, the question God asked Abraham was, what do you see? He just called him out into the promised land that he doesn't know. Abraham is just a father of faith, and by faith, he just go. By faith, he just walk. But then he walked toward the promised land. And then God asked him, what do you see? And here is what makes the difference for us right now. Is what do you see? Because what you see, God is going to give it to you. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. So he will show you after you leaving. He's not going to show you before you leaving. So a lot of time you always ask God, show me, Lord, show me, Lord, show me, Lord. But he's not going to show you anything because you have not left at all, right? You have to make your move first before he's going to show you the land that he promised. The inheritance that he promised is going to show you, but you have to leave what's not matter to you, what not belong to you, that's not for you, that's not good for you, that's not enough for you. You have to leave that, and then he will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make you a great name and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse you. And all people on earth will be a blessing through you. And that is a fulfillment this day that we all bless through him, through Abraham. So Abraham left and the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years and he set out to Haran. So God was asking, verse 6, Abraham traveled from the land as far as the site of the great tree. As far as. Are you willing to travel as far as? Because basically in another version of the Bible say, what you able to see is that what I give you. How far you could see that what I will give you. That basically says, look, if you can look that 2 kilometers away, I'm going to give you 2 kilometers. If you can look to another nation, I'm going to give you another nation. If you can look to another continent, I'm going to give you another continent. What do you see? How far can you see? And Abraham left everything and he dared to see big. If he didn't even have a son. He was just like a childless. And God made him into a great nation and a father of many, many nations. And through him, nations are blessed. What a promise. And through you, the nations are blessed. Through you, many other people will be blessed. That's how much God could see in you. But what do you see? What do you choose to see today? And I would like to encourage you to say, Lord, this is what I see. Extend even my vision. Make me see what you want me to see. Allow me to see what you want me to see. Allow me to see the thing that you have prepared for me before I was born. So that I can take that inheritance that belonged to me from the beginning. I'm going to go there. I'm going to take that. And that I would like to see. Lord, my prayer for you is that he's going to extend your vision. He's going to extend your heart to receive more. He's going to challenge you to the point like, Lord, you're calling me. I'm responding to you. I'm leaving everything behind. Show me. Show me more. Show me what you have. Show me what belongs to me. Now is the time I'm going to take it. Now is the time I'm going to reclaim it. Reclaim it back. Now is the time I want to see what you see. Now, today, no other day, no other time, but today. I'm praying for you all that God is speaking and the Spirit of God is ministering to your spirit right now. And extend your heart, extend your vision, extend what you could see for his household, for the kingdom of God, for your personal life, something significant about to happen. And I just want to invite you to stand up and ask the Lord that, Lord, I'm ready. Just do something, whatever you want, because I'm ready. Just extend my vision, extend my heart to receive what you want me to receive. And I'm willing to say, Lord, just help me to see again. Help me to regain my sight again one more time. To see your kingdom. To see your heart and what is in your heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for depositing your truth in our spirit this morning. Thank you for just allowing us to partake your kingdom in the new way in this season. Just open our eyes one more time, Lord, so we can see what you see. Extend our territory the way you have seen it and declare it in our life. The way that we don't even see it, but you see it. And now is the time you deposit that in our spirit so that we can receive more of you, more of your kingdom, more of your heart. We thank you, Lord, and we just come before you and say that you are everything. You are indeed everything we have, everything we can dream of, and everything we want. And help us to step into that new season of intention, of our faith, of our vision, of our heart, of what we can see, what we can hear, what we can perceive, and what we can pursue with your Spirit. Now is the time, and make it happen in Jesus' mighty name. I bless you with all the great blessing from above. May the Lord bless you as you go and see more and receive more. In Jesus' name, amen.